Diner with host Dan Eller. Our special guest today is Katie Tilley and Fred Lewis. Here's your host, live from Sharpfaces Gallery, Ann Eller.
All right, that's right. Yes, you know I'm Ann Eller. It must be lunchtime, but I don't see any food on the table today. But I do have two great guests with us today. Katie Tilley is here, and Fred Lewis. What are we talking about today? Well, the Burke Stark Mansion, that's right, over there in Abbeville. How often have you driven by it, but you didn't know much about it, and you hadn't really thought much about it, but boy, it really has quite a history. Anybody know if there's any ghosts in there?
We've been asked that a lot.
Yeah.
We've been asked that a lot. Haven't seen one.
Haven't
seen
one.
I keep hearing there's Miss Mary in one of the windows during the fall. I don't know.
All right. Well, anyways, we're going to be talking about the Burke Stark Mansion, but first off, we want to talk a little bit about our guest. Katie Tilley is originally from, where are you from?
I'm originally from Tennessee, from Kingsport. Moved to South Carolina in 1989.
And who do you support for football?
Oh, I'm a Tennessee fan. Big orange all the way.
Wrong color.
Wrong color. I feel cool for Clemson, too. So, you know, I like that color.
Tennessee has an off-shade orange, you understand?
Off-shade orange. Fred, where do you stand on this?
Oh, I'm a Clemson man. No
Clemson
question
man.
About it.
See, we're still friends. I like Clemson, too.
All right. Well, fortunately, we're not really into football today because this could get dangerous for me. But, Katie, you have been living here in South Carolina since when?
Since 1989. We moved to Greenwood. My husband moved with the telephone company here, never heard of Greenwood, and absolutely fell in love with it when we moved here.
Wow.
Down the road, about 9 years later, we moved to Abbeville, and that's where our home is. My husband moved with the telephone company there, West Carolina Telephone, and is the commercial manager there.
Wow. So, you've been telephone. How's your telephone service at your house?
It's absolutely fantastic, of course.
That we can agree on.
That you can agree
on.
Ask anyone in Abbeville. They love West Carolina telephone.
They do. And you also have the internet, too. And
oh, we have everything. Digital entertainment, internet. Oh, yeah. Great telephone service. They even have cell phones now, too, they offer.
Wow. So, well, that's great. Well, we had a little problem over here in Greenwood yesterday. A lot of the lines, there was a big accident, and it knocked everything out here. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
We had a little glitch there at work at Ascend Performance. It went out for just a little bit, about a minute, I think.
That's right. So you work over at Ascend Performance Materials.
That's right. We're celebrated, actually, June the 1st, our second year anniversary.
That's right. Now, of course, Ascend used to be Monsanto.
Used to be Solutia, prior to that Monsanto. And
before that?
The plant actually opened up as Chemstrand when it came to this in 1960.
1960.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, you were telling me how Drummond and everybody got together and brought it, and I didn't realize they were actually the first big manufacturing plant here.
Sure was. And everybody was just thrilled to have a large company come in. It was a huge factor in all the household, and we actually are hiring some of their grandkids today. The children and grandkids have been hired and been at this plant. Even though we've changed names several times, we're still there.
You know, I think it's great that there is still a manufacturing plant here in Greenwood. Now, what exactly, how is business, and what are you actually manufacturing over there now?
Business is great. We've been a nylon manufacturing. And we support the nylon for tire business, also for the airbag industry, and also for carpet.
Wow. So business is great. You told me you were at full production.
We are. We're expanding. Our business is sold out. We're trying to make more for our customers.
And what exactly are they making? You were telling me the nylon fabric for...
They make nylon thread.
Thread.
Nylon yarn that goes into carpet business. It actually goes into the airbag business and also into tires for your cars.
Wow. Okay. Well, there's one good business right here in Greenwood, right?
Yes. We have about 500 people there, including contract employees, and we're all as one, so we're proud to be there, and everyone is glad to have a job.
Well, I remember when Ascend came a couple of years ago, people were really concerned, were they there to close the plant down? It's good to see that it has made the grade and continued.
It is, and great leadership, and we've been very, very fortunate, the leadership. They're all chemical background owners of the company. They care about who we are, and they're not there just to get rid of us.
That's good, because that was what people were worried about
right.
when it first came.
Sure.
Yes, and the staffing, the the staff became very small. Mm-hmm. It's good to see that it's come back up.
Absolutely.
So what else do you do? Now, you are a pretty active person, I understand.
I wear a lot of hats.
Yes.
I have over the years. I work with the community some in the community ads and that sort of thing. I also do all plant support for our site leadership. I do a lot of communications to the employees. And I also help pay the bills. I process all the invoices that come into Greenwood in accounts payable.
Wow. Okay. Well, she's the person to know then if you've owed something.
You want to make sure it happens.
That's right. But you're also involved in a lot of different things in the community. Yeah, the American Cancer Society. You're a big, big proponent of that, right?
Yes. It's very close to my heart. I am a cancer survivor, almost 29 years now. So I feel very blessed. I had ovarian cancer. And it's a great organization. It's all volunteer-based. There's very few. There's employees, of course, that get paid by American Cancer Society, but it's an international company, you know, that really makes a difference. But it's close to all our hearts. That's why it's so successful.
Absolutely. Now, you said you had ovarian cancer. You must have been pretty young then.
I was.
Yes.
I was. I was trying to have a child, and I discovered the cancer tumor on my ovary. And I took chemotherapy. They removed it, went through treatment, and within 12 months later, 9 months, it was 12 months after my treatment, I carried twin girls.
Well, how does that work? Were they surprised?
Everyone was surprised, including us. But I've been very blessed, like I say. And there's hope, and treatment is wonderful today. There's more and more survivors, fortunately. Unfortunately, there's a lot more cancers out there, but it's awareness.
I think everybody is discovering it that much sooner. Isn't that part of it? You know, things that wouldn't be discovered till later, people are discovering much sooner.
Oh, sure. People are more aware of their bodies and talking to their doctors and demanding tests to be done to make sure everything's okay.
You know, when you think of that 28, 29 years ago, what difference ovarian cancer would have over then over today? I mean, you just think about that. It would be amazing.
Oh, and so many other cancers.
Sure.
The treatments for so many now that we had nothing prior to.
Absolutely. Well, let's see. So you're on the American Cancer Society. You Palmetto Bank Community Board member. And what else? Main Street United Methodist Church. I mean, you are involved in our community. But you're also the chairman of the Abbeville Historic Preservation Commission. That's for the Burke Stark Mansion Board. And a tour docent for the mansion. How did you get so interested in history?
Well, a lady called Margaret Bowie actually invited me to come to see what the mansion was about, and I fell in love, and she asked me if I would be interested in being on their board. And all the board members actually have to be approved by the governor's office. And I'm one now, including Fred Lewis, of 11 members that are on our board, and basically the commission was formed to take care of the mansion.
Do you like history?
I do.
A lot of people don't. So, you know, it's amazing to find somebody that would love history. And, of course, there is a lot of interesting stuff that we're going to be talking about with the Burke Stark Mansion house over there in Abbeville. It's open. You can go over there and check it out. We're going to talk a lot more about it. When we come back, we're going to be talking to our other guest today, Fred Lewis. Grew up in Abbeville, retired manager with Milliken & Company. Loves history, and we're going to talk about a whole lot more. So don't you go away. We'll be right back.
The classic never goes out of style. The classic can be worn every day. What classic am I speaking of today? Diamond earrings, of course. Classic studs. At Sharp Facets Gallery, our diamond earrings are the best. From quarter carats to over 4 carats in rounds, and of course, princess, pear, or emerald cuts. Best selection, best price, best quality. Buy a pair of diamond earrings today and watch your eyes light up. Sharp Facets Gallery, 72 Bypass, Greenwood.
You're with us at Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Ella. Our special guest today is Katie Tilley and Fred Lewis. Here is your host, live from Sharp Facets Gallery, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We were just talking about retirement. I gave him my version of retirement. This mic will be stuck to my hand as I go down and my head hits the table. I'll say, sayonara, everybody. Boom. that's a great way to go. It is a great way.
Yeah, but that's
go.
Doing what you like. That's what it's all about when
absolutely,
you retire.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, Fred, you, of course, grew up in Abbeville, and you're a retired manager with Milliken. And you were just talking about you don't have you've been retired for 7 years. You don't have any time.
I have no time. None.
How can that be? You're retired.
Well, I'm like a lot of the people. I'm pursuing my fun now, you know, and that takes a lot of time. It really does.
Do you feel you were deprived while you were working
all
those
years?
Oh,
no question. No question. No question.
I know I'm deprived.
Because when you work with Milliken, it's 24/7, you know, and you really didn't have the time to pursue things you enjoyed. Enjoyed my time there, but I really am enjoying retirement. Really am.
That's great. You know, we were talking about before we came on the air about Roger Milliken.
Yes.
And we were talking about NAFTA and how that changed, and you were telling me what Roger Milliken said about it.
Well, early on, he was totally against NAFTA, and all his predictions came through. It destroyed the industry, among other industries that are related, and he was right on target. We just didn't listen. We really didn't listen.
It's hard for me to believe that we actually thought this was a good thing.
Oh,
I mean, I could never understand it at the time, but this was not supposed to happen the way it happened, was it?
No, it was not. It was not. And he had the ability to see far in the future, and he was right on target. I wish more people had listened. Maybe we wouldn't be in the mess we're in, not only in textiles, but the industry around us today, manufacturing per se. You know.
Sure. And, of course, Milliken has become what now? It's been renamed, yeah, or,
well,
or
no,
sold off part of it, right?
They sold part. They sold the automotive division, which
right.
is what I was a part of. But no, Milliken is still in business, chemical and other areas, and doing real well. But they sold the automotive division to Sage.
There you go.
That's the
right.
Abbeville and Sharon plants, and they're doing real well. And Mr. Milliken forecasted that too. He said you'll do well, and they did.
It's keeping people employed.
Yes,
too,
it
right?
is. In our area, that's very important.
Absolutely, absolutely. So. Now, when you were growing up, you told me that textiles wasn't your thing. What was going to be your thing?
Well, my father was a Coca-Cola bottler. And if you're around Coca-Cola, you realize that's in your blood. And so I was raised in that.
That's what they hope, anyway.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, a lot of it is still true, okay. But anyway, and so I really thought I'd go into Coca-Cola business. But, you know, looked at that early on and saw that it just really wasn't the thing I wanted to do. So textile management was a thing then, and so I went into with J.P. Stevens right out of college, went to a small yarn plant, and then with Milliken in 1972, and enjoyed a great career with Milliken and Company.
Wow. You know, Roger Milliken, sorely missed.
Oh,
died last year. I mean, you know, and I was telling you, I had Skip Shelton on the
right.
show the other day, the pilot that actually got him in the air.
Yeah.
A lot of great stories he told. You were telling us that he liked the helicopter.
Well, he did. He used the helicopter because he could get to the plants easily in our area. But he really didn't like to fly. And there were several instances that promoted that. He cut down a few pine trees, at least the pilot did, with the helicopter. And so, you know, he was not fond of that. But that was the way he got around. So it was a great thing for him, but he was not fond of it.
You know, today we've had so many, Mr. Burton died, Roger
right.
Milliken. We've had so iconic greats that are gone now.
Yes.
Do you see anybody coming up in today's ranks that is going to be able to fill that void?
I don't, but now I'm not as versed as I was when I was with the company, but I don't see that. I really don't. I'm sure they're there,
right?
But I'm not aware of them. I mean, to fill Mr. Milliken's shoes, I can't comprehend that. I really can't. Because he was a fantastic person. He knew where every machine he had and every plant, where it was, and he was just fantastic. In fact, he wanted to buy a particular machine, which I was a part of, and we were against it.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried our best to convince him. No, we couldn't justify it. He said, well, I want you to go ahead and get it anyway. Guess what? He was right on target. In fact, it's operating today. That's the kind of guy he was, you know.
What do you think gave him that acumen to be able to tell that? What do you think? Was he so immersed in it? I've known young people who have come to work from other colleges and gone to work. We happen to have sold a lot of diamonds to those guys that
yeah.
got engaged.
Right.
And they all say it is total immersion all the time.
Well, his company was his life. That was his hobby. Everything about him was Milliken and Company. He had a passion primarily because of his dad, and he went in early with his dad. He just had a passion and a love for that kind of business and kept that to the day he died, to be honest with you.
And you know, you got to have a vision too.
Absolutely.
I think that's what we're looking for. We need, maybe we're in a recoup mode right now, you know, where we need some visionaries out there that are looking for something new in the future.
Absolutely.
We need that. We do.
So, okay, so you retired from Milliken. Now, you like history.
Oh, I love history.
Why?
Well, to be honest with you, I was first introduced to it in college when I was at Erskine. Took several history courses and just fell in love with it and eventually got into local history. I'm also a genealogist. I'm writing my family history as we speak, in fact.
Found anything scary?
No. Good things.
Oh, come on. I want to hear the scary stuff.
No.
Behind
scary.
Door X?
No, that's not in the book. It won't be in the book. It'll be all up front and positive.
Okay.
But I've been doing it for 30 years, and now I'm writing the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
patience.
Yeah, that
patient,
is.
Fred.
So. Yeah. Do you find anything that really was outstanding? You know, they always say on TV, I found that my family lived next door to the Wright brothers. Who would have known? I mean, you know, anything like that?
No, nothing like that. Ancestry.com promotes that on
right.
there.
But yeah.
I just enjoyed the fact that the immigration, the transition from South Carolina into Alabama and even back. Mm-hmm. I did one yesterday on my son-in-law's parents.
Mm-hmm.
And that they did the same trick, South Carolina to Alabama, North Carolina, and back. That always interests me. So.
Well, that's pretty cool. So you love history. You've been spending a lot of time with history. But you also say you like the local writers. You were telling me about Bob Edmonds.
Bob Edmonds, yes. He's from McCormick, a great writer. One of his books I really enjoy is The Making of McCormick County. He is just full of information, and he's inspired me so much over the years.
You were talking about bringing the group from France
yes,
over there.
Yes, my wife is French Huguenot. She is Gilbert and Guillebeau. And the Gilberts, the Gilberts, went to Bob in McCormick because that's where they settled in 1764. And he brought them to the Stark House while they were here. And I had the privilege of touring them with an interpreter, and we had a great time. But Bob's a fantastic historian, and I really enjoyed talking with him and reading his work.
So how did you get involved in the Burke Stark House?
Well, I was always involved in local history, and a gentleman approached me about being a part, and the history behind the mansion has just fell right in, and so it's a part of what I enjoy, so it's been a privilege to be on that board and give tours. I give tours during the week on appointments. We open on Friday and Saturdays. We'll get into it later, I'm sure, but my grandkids are involved in things, so I do the tours during the week by appointment, so have a lot of fun doing that.
Absolutely. Well, now, it came on the National Register when, the Burke Stark? Did it?
Actually, it was 1982, October
mm-hmm.
1992.
Correct. Mary died in 87.
Yeah, she yeah. died in 1987, but she actually gave all the belongings of the house, and at the time that she did this was in 1971. But after her death, the house became a National Museum home and was proclaimed on the National Registry in 1992, October.
Wow.
She had a passion for the house, really. Her dad was the same way. And so she set things up that the house could be preserved and we could take care of it and give it to it. She wanted people to be able to see the history of that house, and that's what we really promote. And she was a great lady, and we owe her a lot. We really do.
Well, you know, when you drive by it, you know, when you're going to Anderson or through and everything, it certainly is beautiful
yes,
to
it
see
is.
It from the street.
Yes,
and the fact that people can come and go through it is quite great. And the fact that it's open every weekend. See, I didn't know that it was open every weekend, Fridays
yeah.
and Saturdays. Is
right,
that correct?
Friday
right.
and Saturday afternoons, 1:30 to 4:30. And we also have a website.
What's the website there, Katie?
Which is burkstark.com. It's burt-stark. STARK.com. And that gives you some more information. It kind of gives you a quick preview of each of the rooms for you to go before you go through.
Absolutely. That always makes it interesting when you have some information in advance.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Well, we are here at Sharp Facets Gallery. I do want to tell you we're going to, after we have the word from the news and our sponsors, we'll be back and we'll be talking to Katie and Fred here. We're going to be talking about the Burke Stark House. So if you've got a question about it, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. By the way, tonight is June 28th. That is the 28th, isn't it? It is Military Appreciation Night out at the Legion Hall Field, which is now what? What is the name of the field?
John Nave.
John Nave. There you go. Yeah. The John Nave Stadium. Free admission for active duty and retired military and their families tonight.
And great baseball, too.
And great baseball. Special guest, Lou Grissi, Ware Scholes native, World War II hero, one Bronze Star, and two Purple Hearts.
Wow.
Thank you for your service there. Former Major League All-Star and former director of American Legion Baseball. The game begins at 6:30. The program starts at 6:30. It's Military Appreciation Night. Come on out tonight. Hopefully it won't rain. Hey, it's time for South Carolina News. We'll be back in just a moment.
What does WLMA stand for? Well, it stands for Wow, Let's Meet Again, right here on 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk radio station.
Welcome back to Meet Me at the Diner. Your host, Ann Eller. Our special guest today is Katie Tilley and Fred Lewis. Here is your host, live from Sharpass's Gallery, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We were just reminiscing about the golden days of radio and talking about talk show hosts and old-time radio, you know, those shows that you liked. Fred brought up Fibber McGee and Molly, and I said, done that one. That's right. So we've done a lot of this, and we keep loving it right here. That's right, on WLMA with McDonald's. Okay, we wanted to talk about the Burkstark Mansion. It is amazing from the standpoint is it's only had seven owners. Isn't that that is unbelievable for a house that was built. When was that house built, Fred?
Around 1831 by David Leslie, who had a plantation up, which is now up towards 28, still in the family.
Mm-hmm.
He had a trusty slave carpenter, master carpenter, that he sent to Hudson Valley, New York, a home they really enjoyed up there, and he came back and supervised an architect of building that house.
Yeah, I like that. I see a house up here in New York. Would you go up there and check it out and come back and be able to build it?
It did a great job.
Absolutely.
We have just done some construction issues, and all the parts of the house that Kubik supervised and are in perfect shape, no problems at all. So
it's the new ones that we have a problem with, the newer ones.
The ones that were added later, but boy, he was fantastic, and his work is still there.
Still there.
Still there.
You know, and the other thing that I didn't realize is that the Civil War actually started here.
Well, Abbeville
or the secession aspect.
Yes, Abbeville is the birthplace and the deathbed of the Confederacy. That's our marketing term, which is really true. And, of course, the Stark House refers to the deathbed with the last meeting of the Confederate War Council.
Okay. But the start of it, the Confederacy started right there.
Well, we seceded.
For secession, okay.
For secession. Abbeville had a meeting of secession to send delegates, and that was the 22nd of November, 1860, on what is now Secession Hill, which is still there today, and people can go by and enjoy that site also.
You know, sometimes I think about it, and I just wonder if we ought to go ahead and secede again.
That's been discussed. That's been discussed.
It has come up, I'm sure.
You know, how would South Carolina do if we just put up our own borders? I mean, after all, Nikki Haley, our governor, just signed the Illegal Immigration Act, so maybe we can put a fence around it.
Heading that way, aren't we?
All right, but who wants to start off talking about how we got to where we got with the Burkstark Mansion?
Well, I just want to say, Fred, you know, he loves history, and he has been a real asset because he does help us with tours during the week and on the weekends, too. But we need that. We need someone that also has more information about the history of Abbeville, too. But coming to the mansion, it's a Greek-style revival home that was designed. David Leslie received the plans from his slave, Kubik, and it happened. It took almost 10 years to build, right, Fred?
Yes, yes.
So it was about 1840s before it was completed. It's very secure, very stable house.
And well taken care of.
Well taken care of. And I will say this, because people don't understand who we are, Abbeville County Historic Preservation Commission. All that is a we're one of 10, 11 people that actually meet once a month to help maintain that house. And the commission was formed to maintain the Burkstark Mansion.
Now, how did the house get on? I mean, somebody owned it, and then money must have been put aside to be able to start this as a historical property.
Well, the property, Mary Stark Davis had the vision. We were talking about vision earlier. She did have
prompted
the vision.
Prompted by her dad, too. Right.
Prompted by her dad, J.S. Stark. But the Starks bought it early 1900s. And what people see today, actually, in that house is the Stark furnishings. And Mary's wish was that we leave that house in her will, that we leave that house the way she left it, which is very important for us as a commission. We don't try to change it back to the 1800s, 1900s. We leave
right.
it the way
she
left
it.
That's right.
Right. But she really actually, with the help of the governor at that time, established the commission, which allows us to be able to take care of the house, show the house, and be a show place in Abbeville. So she was the front end, the instrumental part of that,
mm-hmm.
with some businessmen in Abbeville, and she's done a
great
thing.
Why do you think she wanted to do that? Why,
well,
her dad? Why
her,
did he?
Her,
why
well,
did your dad
reason,
want to do that?
One of the reasons why her dad came to the house, he really appreciated the history, especially the room where the last war council was held, and she really, you know, appreciated that and wanted to keep the passion that her dad had, because that's one of the reasons why he bought the house. To preserve it. In fact, one of the things that we talk about is there's a bed upstairs that Jefferson Davis laid across the night he came to Abbeville, and it was after the war with things that they were, all the furniture was auctioned. So when he purchased the house, he knew where that bed was. He went and purchased the bed and brought it back and put it in the exact same position that Jefferson Davis had laid across the night he was there. So his passion was just, oh, he just really loved that house and wanted to preserve it for other people to see. And you were making the comment, we have people that live in Abbeville all their life and never been to Stark House, and that's a shame because we're there. It's a part of our history. We love to have them. We invite them to come.
Well, that is the problem. Sometimes we never realize what we have in our backyard.
No, you don't.
We think we have to go someplace else to see history
yes.
when we've got it right here.
Yes, and the last meeting is quite a story to tell, and the room is intact. The furniture is of the period, not of the date. But if you come into the house, you stand where Jefferson Davis stood. You can see the hearth where he almost fainted and hear the real story. And that's history, to be where they were, stand where people have been. That's the history I enjoy.
You feel that presence when you come into
you
the
do.
House.
You do.
Okay, so there is a ghost. Okay, we
no,
got
no,
it.
No, no, no.
You feel it. You feel the history that took place there. People tell us, they come in, and I know Fred can tell you too, because I do tours also, but they come in and it's like, wow, oh my goodness. You know, the comments that we get, they're blown away.
And we try to preserve that because it's important.
It is important because that was part of our history.
Yes.
You know, and it's the Confederacy is something that, you know, when you see things where they're trying to push it aside like it didn't exist, it did exist. It
yes,
was hard,
right.
you know.
It did.
And it's not something that I think we need to be proud of these things and look back and learn from them.
No
we
question.
Do.
No question. And that's what we really talk about when you come into the house. It's a part of your heritage. It's a part of Abbeville. It's a part of our area. And we just love showing it, really do.
Now, didn't Jefferson Davis's wife, wasn't she
Marina?
There?
She came ahead of him when he was retreating from Richmond,
mm-hmm.
and she came in the middle of April, and about the 19th of April, and left the 29th, heading south. They had agreed to get together as he retreated, and so he came 3 days after she left. So.
And that was really due to poor communication at
was,
that time.
Yes.
Sure.
And he was in retreat. Lincoln had been assassinated. Lee had surrendered Appomattox. And so there was a high price on his head. Came through Coronaca, and how he got through Coronaca without being captured is just unreal, because they were really after it. They really were.
It is amazing. You know, and you don't realize how hard it was for them to travel and
oh,
move from one area to the other, and the armies and everything.
Yes.
And
yes.
he had, what, a couple of thousand soldiers?
1,500.
1,500 that were with him at the time. And then the Confederate gold arrived in Abbeville by train later that afternoon.
Right, right. And followed him as he went south. Was
the
captured,
Confederate gold?
Captured May the 10th, 1865, in a place called Irwinville, Georgia. He and his wife were both captured there.
So it was his wife that caused the problem.
No, I didn't say that.
No, you were thinking it, though, Fred. He made it through everything else.
But, well, it was a sad occasion. She was taken to Savannah, and he was taken to Fort Monroe in Virginia. So they were separated for a period of time. It was really a sad thing, but that's history.
That is history, and that's the reality of it. Hey, I'm here with Fred Lewis, who loves history, loves to do tours and talk about everything over there in Abbeville. Katie Tilley, she's here with us, too. She is on the Abbeville Historic Preservation Commission for the Burke Stark Mansion. We're going to talk more about it. Hey, if you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back. Gray sky, hello
blue, there's nothing can hold me. Hey gang, this is Boogie. I wonder about the weather from time to time and keep an eye at the sky, but if it's going to be wet or dry, I'm going to tell you, hot or cold. But the only weather they worry about at Sharp Facets Gallery is whether or not you're taking advantage of our special deals on Facebook. If not, log in to Facebook and search for Sharp Facets and start saving now.
You're with us at Meet Me at the Diner. Your host, Ann Ellen. Our special guest today is Katie Tilley and Fred Lewis. Here is your host, Ann Eller.
That's right, and today's topic is the Burke Stark Mansion over there in Abbeville. How many times have you driven by and never gone by and checked it out? This will be a fabulous for a group to come over during the week.
Oh, yes.
Oh, sure.
Red Hat groups, I'm sure, come, and all different types of groups. So
yes.
If you are looking to come do this now, what's a number to call to get more information or to say, hey, we're interested in coming over?
You can call the chamber or you can call Katie. I'm available all the time. My number is 378-8295, and I do tours during the week, and we'd love to have you, so just give us a call.
We also have our regular phone there at the mansion, which is 366-0166, and you can leave a voicemail. And there's also another cell phone if you have an urgent need during the week. But a lot of times you will end up with Fred doing the tour if it's during the week by appointment. And we do charge $10 per person, but when we have groups, we give them a discount and make it $8 a person if it's 10 or more.
Okay.
I think it's important for people to know this, and though, that we don't receive any federal money, no state money. We strictly operate off tour money, contributions. The city of Abbeville helps us out a little bit in electricity. But other than that, we...
How do you do on the telephone bills, just out of curiosity?
That helps. We just pay the bills with our telephone.
I didn't know since we had a connection here whether...
No, that's why you walk into
bills.
That
We still pay the bills with tour money and contributions, but we don't get any money, and all of our commission is strictly volunteer, so we don't get any.
That has to make it tough.
It is, strictly volunteer basis, but everyone that's involved in the commission, we just love being a part of it, and we feel very fortunate.
Sure. And, you know, the problem with old houses, though, is the upkeep and taking care of it. And, of course, if you're having to take care of that, too, that can get pretty expensive.
It does. And the tour fees give us that opportunity. But that's really the only one we have is the tour fees that we give. So come on, help us. Enjoy a great house.
You know, that would be a great time to go over to Abbeville on a Saturday afternoon, go on a tour, and then go to the play Friday afternoon.
Oh, sure.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff you could coordinate, a very nice
trip. We have
trip.
A lot of groups that do that. They come in the afternoon and see the house and then go to a play and go out to eat, and Abbeville's a great place to do that.
Well, it certainly has, I would say, in the last, 10 years, really changed up to become so much more of a destination.
Yes.
It's a unique town, definitely, and everybody that comes in there from out of town, when they do tours, they just love. They feel very welcome in Abbeville. The town, the chamber, the city make a big effort to make sure everybody loves the town and remembers it and wants to come back.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things is people come from outside the area, and you probably have people coming in and booking tours all the time from outside the area. And here we are sitting right here in Greenwood, and we don't even walk across the road there and go up the street to Abbeville.
That's true. And you're next, right?
Yeah, I am. And Jeff would actually love to go look at that. He loves history. He's a very big history buff.
Just give me a call.
Okay.
We'd love to have you.
All right. We'll be doing it. So what else did we want to talk about? It is now, is it closed in the winter? Is it open year-round, or how does this work?
It's open year-round, except some holidays we take off for the weekend. But it's open year-round.
Open year-round. Okay. Mm-hmm. And do you have air conditioning in the building?
We do. Yes, we do.
We do. Something a little new. We just had a new project that last fall. I guess we completed that, or the first of this year. We put in new heat and air, which made a huge difference and helped us a little bit more efficient.
Absolutely.
And also helps the house in keeping the humidity out, which is very important, too.
Now, you have real antiques over there. These are the things that were in the house all along. Some of it. Right.
Several pieces, but a lot of it's been donated, and we use from people who have donated to the house over a period of time. Most of the things we have in the house are of the period, but not of the date.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But still, it's quite a place to see those antiques.
But it's from the Stark family.
Yes.
The furnishings now, it's not from when Jefferson Davis was there necessarily, but it was from the Stark family. And they lived there longer than any other family.
Yes.
And they're the ones that actually made sure this house is on the National Historic Register.
That's terrific. Now, one of the things that's very interesting is there was a kitchen that was outside. Tell us about that, Katie.
Well, all the meals were prepared outside, and they call the kitchen, the old kitchen, the hearth. And when you go in and you get to come and tour, and I know there's going to be lots of people calling wanting to come and tour after this interview, but they call it the hearth, and it's huge. It is huge.
It's a separate building?
It's a totally separate building out back and from the house, but all the meals were prepared there. When people came to visit, it took them a long time to get to the house, so they stayed quite a while. And they had their servants there that prepared all the meals in the hearth and brought it straight into the dining room. And they prepared a lot of meals.
They
there.
Did. In fact, it's a townhouse.
It is a townhouse.
In other words, there were two types of homes in that area. One was a plantation home, mm-hmm. and one was a townhouse. As the social environment of the village of Abbeville began to grow, then what the plantation owners' wives wanted was an opportunity to come into Abbeville for the social events. Well, if you live in a plantation 10 to 15 miles out, getting back home at night was really not practical or even safe for that matter.
Right.
So the wealthy plantation owners built homes within the village, of which this is one. It's called a townhouse, and they'd come in on the weekend, go back to the plantation, stay a week, whatever they wanted to do, and they'd leave the slaves take care of the house while they were not there and bring the right number to accommodate guests and the family while they were there. So it's really a townhouse.
Wow. Okay. Now, it's very unusual to have that kitchen still in existence. Is that right, Katie?
It is. It's very rare structure nowadays to have those on any property that was built during that time. So we feel very fortunate to have that. It's actually a two-part structure.
Yes.
Hearth, where all the meals were prepared, was in one part, and the other behind that was where the slaves and servants lived.
Oh, wow. Now, but they did go ahead and build a kitchen indoor. Why did they build a kitchen, Fred? Come on, tell us
the
story now.
Well, Stark was, she insisted that her husband, once they bought the house to renovate, to have a attached inside kitchen. And the story goes, she was a great cookie lover. She loved to cook cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the story we hear. I'm sure that's not the only reason, but that's the story.
She wanted a more convenient place to bake
those cookies.
Yes, she did.
And later, an indoor bathroom also was added, about 1911.
Wow.
So it had the conveniences. It really did.
Conveniences of the day.
Yes.
They were envied,
I'm sure. But now, Katie, what kind of events? I know that you have several events during the year over there at the Burke Stark House. What kind of events we got coming up?
Well, one thing you were talking about, people in their own backyard, they don't seem to see, but we are very proud. Every year, for several years now, we've been having all the 8th grade students of Abbeville County come through and tour the house, and we also give them a hot dog lunch. Hot dog lunch, and give them a little bit of history that they didn't know was there, and hopefully down the road, as they become adults, they will remember that and come back and visit and tell their children also. So we're proud to do that every year, and that's usually in the spring. Mm-hmm. We've also added recently, the board has approved last year, actually, we had our first wedding event on the grounds. We allow weddings, rehearsals and receptions and other special events on the grounds of the mansion.
You also have the oyster roast there, don't you?
We do.
we always talk about the oyster roast on the radio here.
Yeah, we host that for the chamber.
Right,
we host that for the chamber every year. That's usually in March.
Right.
And we're looking at some other things coming up next year that are going to be fun and exciting to kind of bring in some more history and reenactors. And we're talking about a Stark Festival even for next year. So we're excited
That'll be cool.
about that to help bring some more income, you know, that we need to help maintain the house.
Sure. Well, I know Abbeville is very, very proud to be able to have that right there. You've got some beautiful homes right up the street from old homes. Yeah.
Townhouses around that are still there.
Right.
Some nice, beautiful homes there.
All down North Main Street, especially, and Greenville Street.
Yes.
Yeah. Beautiful
yes.
homes.
Yes.
So it's a beautiful area to go. If you haven't been over there, you need to set up a time to go see the Burke Stark Mansion. It is beautiful. Pick an afternoon where you can go and maybe go to the Opera House, have dinner over there. Now, when was the Belmont built over there?
It was built in 1903.
So that was very close to the same time that he
yes,
was...
Yes, it was one of the first buildings that really elevated the social environment of Abbeville. Of course, the courthouse and the Opera House were built in 1908, but the Belmont, or the Eureka Hotel, as it was, was named when they built it, really elevated the social environment of it. In fact, a lot of the entertainers, a railhead is right over half a mile from the downtown Abbeville. Going from Atlanta to New York would stop there. And
they would play at the Opera House.
And they would after it was built, but the salesmen would stay at the Eureka, okay? And that really started it all. And, of course, when the Opera House was built, they would stop there. And it was convenient for them to stop and have plays and concerts or what have you.
You know, it really is amazing that Abbeville has survived. All these things have survived. And today we're able to really take a good look back on history because these things are still there.
Yes.
And, you know, so many areas, those things are gone. The Opera House, that is a fabulous thing.
Oh,
just
yes.
keeps getting more
yes.
and more done. And, of course, the square there.
Yeah, well, it survived two or three fires in the 1870s, and it's quite remarkable that it has survived. Of course, after the fires, the wooding structures were done away with and came back with brick structures, such as the chamber building now. That was an example of the architecture that was used after these fires. So that's a nice place to go and visit, too, while you're in Abbeville.
So make sure you put Abbeville on the map. If you've got friends and family coming down and you're wondering what to do with them, because, you know, sometimes that's a problem. What are we going to do today? Think about the Burke Stark Mansion. You can set up and have a private tour. Wouldn't it be great if you're having a family reunion to take the whole family over there for a tour?
Right, and have a picnic at the park next door, the Jefferson Davis Park. You can even do that. So we have people that do that.
We do have reunions
yes.
come from all over the country. People come and they have a planner that has roots in Abbeville in most cases. And they'll plan and come to the Burke Stark Mansion. And I want to say this, you know.
Let me say one thing. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood. Go ahead, Katie, no problem.
I just want to say, you know, with gas prices the way they are today, people want a quick getaway. You want to celebrate your anniversary, come to Abbeville. There's some beautiful bed and breakfast. Spend the night. Go to the play. Come see the Burke Stark Mansion. And it's just down the road. And you wouldn't have to spend a whole lot of money, but it's a nice place to come and visit.
A perfect place to get away.
It
yes.
is.
It is, and it's not too far to go. And, of course, you're right with the price of gas and everything. Everybody's looking for those easy things to do. Well, listen, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you here. Katie, what is the number over there to the Burke Stark House again?
It's 366-0166, and leave us a message anytime you want a tour. We'd love to have you. We'll try to get back with you as quick as possible.
All right, so make sure you put the Burke Stark, and you do have a website. People can check out your website.
We do, www.burke-stark.com, and it gives you a quick preview of all the rooms.
Absolutely. So check that out there, and make sure you're putting that on the registry here to go and see. Hey, I'm going to check it out. Why don't you check it out right over there in Abbeville? Well, listen, it's been a pleasure to have you all here today.
The pleasure is ours.
Thank you.
Thank you
really
for having us.
Really
do. We had a lot of fun.
Well, good. We'll have to have you back again.
We'll do it.
All right. Sounds good, Fred. Katie, thank you for being here. I'm Ann Eller right here on WLMA here in Greenwood. We'll join the news in progress and then a new show that you got to love, America's News Network. Stay tuned right here on WLMA. Don't forget, if you got that gold, you got that silver, come see me today. It bumped up a little bit. Don't miss out on the price. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass. Bye-bye, Andy.
Bye, Ann.